Acts chapter 11, find that place in the New Testament this morning. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts chapter 11. And we're going to jump right into the message here. I'll shorten the reading of the text just to be able to get started. So once you find Acts chapter 11, if you would please stand with me, if you're able, in honor of the Word of God. And I want to read verse number 19, but we will refer to the other preceding verses in the message in just a minute. Talking about Barnabas now, when he came to Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. I want to preach this morning on the subject, stay put. Stay put. You probably, if you've had a child, you probably have said that once or twice. Don't you move, you stay put. If you have a pet, you probably have said to a pet, stay put. If you've ever been working in the garage or in your kitchen and you needed a third hand, and that would come in handy sometimes, a third hand, and you let loose of something because you had to get something else and you're trying to put it all together, and in your mind you probably have thought to yourself, stay put. Don't move. And it probably did. Okay? So I want to preach this morning on the subject, stay put. Father in heaven, thank you for the blessed privilege of being your child. There's no greater privilege in life than being saved. And then we start adding to that, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your church. Thank you, dear God, for the blessings that come with being saved. And I pray that you will speak to our hearts as only you can. We're back to beans and potatoes this morning. We were blessed to have Pastor Johnson for several days. Lord, we're back to where we usually are on a Sunday with the pastor that's usually here, the people in the pew, and I pray that you'll just help us today to get something from your book that'll challenge us, that will help us today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Again, I want to thank you for your participation this past week. My heart is full of gratefulness for your faithfulness. Many people have thanked me for, you know, for having the meeting. There's really somebody else that you need to thank. I had given thought several times about the fact that we needed to have just a revival meeting for our church. I don't think we've had one since Brother Hiltabiddle came, and that was a great meeting, but that had a very targeted purpose for the, you know, the prophecy and the walk through time, and both of those were very, very good when he came. But to have something just for our church in the way of a revival meeting, I thought about it. But you know what? Oh, ye of little faith. I guess I was skeptical of how it would go over. And my, was I shamed. Because, man, it went over. It went over. You remember the story in the Bible about the little girl who was taken captive from Israel over into Syria, was made the maid to Naaman, the captain of the guard of Syria. And she expressed her wish that Naaman could go to Israel and be healed by Elisha the prophet, because he had leprosy. And there was no cure for it back then. And Naaman went to Israel. He went to Elisha, and he got healed. All because that little maid had said, I wish he could go to Israel and see Elisha. God used a young adult lady here to make the revival possible. We were talking, last fall, and after a service just here in the auditorium, and she asked me if I had ever given thought to having a revival meeting just for our church. And God stabbed my heart. So if you didn't like it, you can blame her, okay? If you did like it, you can thank her. I don't know if she wants me to use her name. But God stabbed my heart, and I told the fellows we're going to put a revival meeting on the calendar for 2021, and the rest is history. Amen. God did a good thing here. Now, I trust God used the meeting to encourage you, to strengthen you, to maybe to convict, to edify, to build you up. I hope he did it for all of us. I hope to some degree that everybody who participated is a little bit revived or restored or renewed in some area of your faith. You know, I was thinking about maybe it was even prior to the meeting that God began to do a work in a lot of hearts. Many people went through that 10-day devotional booklet. It wasn't deep. And it certainly didn't take very long. It wasn't lengthy to do it. But you know what it did? It got our minds and our hearts all kind of going the same direction. Maybe it was Brother Gellis' message on the Sunday evening prior to last Sunday, when he gave some very practical helps on being ready for revival. And I remember the end of the message and how he clearly stated the promise of God in James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. That's His promise. And God makes good on His promises. We're promise breakers. He's promise keeper. He's promise keeper. I preached some messages leading up to the meeting about our need for revival. Maybe God used one of those to work in your heart. You know, it doesn't matter if it was the devotional booklet, if it was my message, if it was Brother Gellis' message. Maybe your Sunday school teacher said something that God used to motivate your heart. What matters is that somehow, hopefully, we came out of last week somewhat closer to God. Now, here's the reality. None of us will remain in that place by default. We'll stay there by default. I got bad news for you. We're all headed back to where we were before the revival if we don't stay put. Stay put. That's where we're headed. Now, this is not an unfamiliar passage to us. I looked up in my archives the other day. This is the passage that God brought to my mind when I was praying about, what do I preach on Sunday after Brother Johnson has preached the entire Bible? What do I preach on Sunday? And it came to my mind, this passage. I looked at my archives. I preached several messages out of this passage. The last time I preached out of this passage was back in 2019, just a couple of years ago. So it's not unfamiliar to us, but I just want to take us back there this morning for a specific purpose. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says, Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Persecution had come to the saints in Jerusalem. You remember, Stephen had been martyred for his preaching. Was it Monday night that he preached about how to make a Saul? And even mentioned Stephen, okay. Saul of Tarsus had been the one on the Sanhedrin who had condemned Stephen to death. And the followers of Christ had fled Jerusalem to escape persecution. They'd gone to distant lands. And as they went, they took the gospel message with them. But the Bible says they were preaching only to the Jews. Now, can I tell you, this was the desire of Jesus Christ. He had said to them his last words before his feet ascended from the Mount of Olives were basically, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Start in Jerusalem and then broaden your effort to all of Judea and broaden your effort to Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world and take the message of my death, my burial, and my resurrection to everybody that you can give it to. But they didn't move. They stayed in Jerusalem. And it took persecution to get them going. And when they left, they preached to the Jews only. So it says in verse 9, look at verse number 20. The Bible says that some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So some of the disciples who scattered out of Jerusalem, they returned, it sounds like, to their home areas. A few of them were from Cyprus and Cyrene. You know where they had been? They had been in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. They probably were part of those 3,000 that were saved. Maybe some that were saved after the day of Pentecost. And when they got to their home areas, they began to witness not only to the Jews, but to Gentiles as well. And guess what, church? The same gospel that saved the Jews saved the Gentiles. There is a qualifying stipulation. At least one. It doesn't matter ethnicity. It doesn't matter gender. It doesn't matter age. Salvation is for them that believe. There's the stipulation. The gospel does not save unbelieving Jews or unbelieving Gentiles. The gospel does not save unbelieving men or unbelieving women. The gospel does not save unbelieving teenagers or unbelieving adults or unbelieving children. The gospel does not save unbelieving whites, unbelieving blacks, unbelieving browns, unbelieving yellows. You've got to believe. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel must be believed before the power of God can save someone. It must be believed. A person has to express faith, belief, sincere, heartfelt faith, belief. And it doesn't matter if they're 9 years of age coming in on a bus or if they're 69 years of age driving in a Mercedes Benz. If they believe and trust Christ, they're saved. That's the power of God that can be experienced to those who believe. So these Jews and Gentiles are getting saved. Verse 21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." Hey, that's great, but whether it's one, two, or a great number, all who want to be saved, they must believe and turn to Christ. Okay? Now verse 22, "Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch." So the church leaders back in Jerusalem, they heard about all that was going on in Antioch and all these places, and they sent Barnabas. Brother Johnson mentioned Barnabas in that message on Stephen. He mentioned Barnabas, the son of consolation, the son of comfort. Okay? And so they sent Barnabas to Antioch to see what was happening. Go find out what's happening in Antioch. So what happened when Barnabas arrived? I'll tell you three things this morning, all out of verse number 23. First of all, Barnabas saw grace. He saw grace. Look at verse 23. "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God." Isn't grace an attribute of God? God is full of grace. Jesus Christ was the very express image of God. Jesus Christ was full of grace. It's an attribute of God the Father, an attribute of God the Son, an attribute of God the Spirit. How can you see grace? The Bible says when Barnabas got to Antioch that he saw the grace of God. You know what? You know how Barnabas saw the grace of God? You know how you and I can see the grace of God? The grace of God can be seen in the lives of people who are experiencing it. That's how it can be seen. He didn't see some weird thing blowing through the wind. He didn't see some weird karma. He saw people whose lives had been touched by grace. The grace of God. And one of the ways the grace of God could be seen by Barnabas was in the fact that these people were assembled together. The Bible says that Barnabas exhorted them all. So these people who had been saved in Antioch, here they are coming together. Those who had been saved were assembling. They were gathering together to worship God. What had they gathered together before? What had they gathered for before? Maybe to worship some idol? Maybe to offer some kind of sacrifices, burn incense to some idol with eyes that can't see, ears that can't hear, a mouth that can't speak, and a heart that doesn't care. And now they've got new life in Jesus Christ. Now they're worshiping the true and living God. And they're assembling together and they're worshiping God. And Barnabas came to the assembly and he saw these people who were unsaved just a while ago coming together, probably singing, probably reading from the scripture that they had, worshiping the God of heaven. You can see the grace of God in their life. You know, when God's grace is at work in a believer's heart, they will seek out fellowship with other believers at an assembly. I didn't stutter when I said that. When God's grace is at work in the believer's heart, they will seek out a fellowship with other believers at an assembly. Grace does not move people to be isolated from God's people. It moves people to seek participation in an assembly of others. Well, I'm just not a people person. I know, but God's grace will make you a people person. God's grace moves in your heart after you get saved. And one of the evidences of it is this longing, this desire to attend the worship services of a local Bible preaching church. You say, Pastor, good grief, man. We were just here Sunday through Thursday night, and you're talking to us about being in church. I can't preach that enough. Paul was the apostle of grace to the Gentiles. And what did he do as those people accepted the message of salvation? What did he do with them? Okay, good luck, y'all. That's not what he did. He gathered those people together in churches. He gathered them together in assemblies where they gathered to worship the God of heaven. Oh, the need for faithful attendance at the local church. I don't know how people explain their lack of church attendance in light of what the writer of Hebrews said concerning the approaching day of the Lord. It's the theme of this year for our church. So, you know what the writer of Hebrews said? He said, if you think the day of the Lord is approaching, you go around talking to everybody about, I think Jesus will come soon. I think Jesus will come soon. You know how we know you'll mean that? You'll be in more services. Not less. So much the more as you see the day approaching. Do we understand what the opposite of more is, folks? It's less. How do you explain less attendance in light of the soon coming of Jesus Christ? Now, if you're going to attend less, don't walk around saying you believe Jesus is coming soon. That's like talking out of both sides of your mouth. If you believe Jesus is coming soon, there's going to be a desire, there's going to be a want, there's going to be, I've got to get to the place where God's people assemble just so I can be encouraged. Because you know what? There ain't much encouragement in living for God out in the world out there. The world really encourages you to read your Bible, doesn't it? The world really encourages you to pray, doesn't it? The world really encourages you to live holy, doesn't it? I mean, you just get all kind of encouragement from the world, right? To live for God. I'm sorry, folks, it doesn't happen out there. You know where it takes place? It takes place with an open Bible in the Sunday school class. It takes place in the church service where somebody's preaching. That's where God's people go to get encouraged. So much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, you may not listen to anything I say. That's your prerogative. But I'll tell you what you're not going to do. You're not going to stand before God someday and say, my pastor never exhorted me to attend church faithfully. He never exhorted me to attend church more. You won't be able to say that. But you can do what you want, you know, and you can run all your excuses by God. And if he's okay with them, I will be too. Really, I won't be real worried about it then. Amen. I won't be worried about it. Oh, look, yeah, look, God, Barnabas, when he got to the city of Antioch, the Bible says he saw the grace of God. I saw the grace of God this morning in the lives of three people who sat through a discipleship lesson on the subject of separation, one of the toughest lessons in that series, and eyes filled with tears. Tears coming down cheeks as we talked about becoming more and more like Jesus Christ and less like the world. I saw the grace of God. Saw it. It's revealed in the lives of God's people. There's a hunger, a thirst. What we were a part of for 4 days, Monday through Thursday, is not just for 4 days in the course of a 365-day year. A hunger and thirst for God when God's grace is at work in our hearts is something we got to be a part of every week when the doors are open. So we saw the grace of God. Barnabas saw grace. But that's not all that happened when Barnabas got to Antioch. Number two, I want you to see this, and I like this. Barnabas was glad. He was glad. Look at it. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. Barnabas was glad when he saw the level of their participation. You know, a couple of folks said to me this past week, man, Pastor, you sure were happy to see the good attendance at the revival. And it was good. This bottom floor was fuller during the revival than it is right now. More full. Now we got people over in the other building. I get all that. Okay. And some people left out of town. That's great. That's fine. Visiting people. We had a huge attendance. It was very good. I was glad to see you. I was glad you were here. That's the same emotion that Barnabas had in the first century. Same emotion. He got to the assembly there in Antioch. People started showing up, and he gets a big smile on his face. If they hadn't shown up, he'd probably. Yeah. I remember a couple years ago, I was preaching in another state. Not Texas, bro. In another state. And the pastor had me meet him at the church about 45 minutes before the meeting started that night, usually 7 o'clock. That's usually starting time. And I was in the auditorium. It was a good-sized auditorium, not huge, but a decent-sized auditorium. And we were just talking, you know. He said, well, I hope we have a good crowd tonight. And I said, well, you think we'll have one? You're expecting one? He said, I don't know, and I really don't care. I thought, well, that's encouraging. I don't know, and I really don't care. He said, if they come, they come, and if they don't, they don't, and I don't really care. That's what he said. And really, it turned out to be a pretty good crowd. It really did. But can I say, you don't need a pastor like that. You need a pastor like Barnabas who is glad to see when people are expressing an interest in the things of God, and sad to see when they don't. Sad to see when they don't. Say, how happy were you last week? About 95%, 93%. Well, what about the other percent? That's the ones that didn't come. Well, you don't care about me. What do you mean I don't care about you? I wouldn't be up here preaching this morning if I didn't care about you. Yeah. I love it when you come. I love it when you come. Well, you get a per diem per member in attendance. It'd be nice. No, I'll get a per diem. But you know what? God can't do much with an empty seat. He can do something with a person sitting in that seat. He can do something to help you. That's what my heart wants. My heart wants help for His people. You need a pastor like that. You know, the young adult lady who questioned me about the revival meeting when it stabbed at my heart. It stabbed at me, but as she walked away, it blessed me abundantly to stop and consider how many young adults in this day and age, young adults in their 20s, desire to be in a revival meeting several nights in a row. How many really desire that? That was a blessing to my heart. Barnabas got to Antioch. He saw the grace of God. He saw grace. Barnabas got to Antioch. He was glad. And I was thrilled. And I say it again. I am grateful for the degree of participation of this assembly at this past revival meeting. I'm grateful for it. Grateful. Nobody heard a number. How many were here Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night? You didn't hear a number. I don't even know. Past Monday night. I heard Monday night. That's the last I heard. Just saw people here. That's what blesses me. Amen. Barnabas was glad. He was glad at this. And then number three, and this is where I want to draw your attention this morning. It won't take me forever to do it. Barnabas preached good. Now you say, good night. That's kind of a weird point. Yeah, but I had to have a letter G because he saw grace and he was glad. So I had to have a word G. So Barnabas preached good. How about that? Will that work? For all you that like to alliterate outlines, that works. All right. But look at verse number 23. Look at what he did. And exhorted them all. See the word exhorted? That means encourage. That means preach. That's the word for preaching. That with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. So his preaching was twofold. First of all, he told them what to do. Cleave to the Lord. You know what he's saying? Stay put. Stay put. The word cleave means to stay further, to remain in a place with a person to stick to. So he gets to town. These people are newly saved. They've come to Christ. They have a new life in Jesus. They are thrilled to be delivered from the worship of dead idols to a relationship with the living God. And Barnabas comes and he sees all this and he senses the excitement. He senses the enthusiasm and he says, you know what? Just stay put. Stick to Him. Remain in this place. I'm not talking about this physical place, although you could say that. But talking about this place in your life with Jesus. Cleave to Him. Can I say, church, that is good advice for post-revival people? Because coming off these last several days, many of us are closer to God now than we were a month ago. Because it's exactly as the book says, exactly as that brother preached. You take a step toward God. God takes a step toward you. You take two steps. He takes two steps. And I think His steps are probably bigger than our steps. And we came out of this thing closer to Him. Stay put. Stick to where you are. That was His message to them. Stay further. Remain in this place with the Lord. And can I ask a question? If we sense ourselves being a little closer to God this morning than we were a month ago, why would we want to leave that place? Why return to a cold, distant relationship with the One who loves us and gave Himself for us? Why would we want that? Being closer to the Lord results in a joy. It results in a warmth. What more than one person said to me, "Did you hear the singing?" Yes, I did. God visited with us. There was a joy in this. And, you know, just stay. Why would you want to leave? Stay put. So He told them what to do. He said, "Man, you've come to God now. Just stick there. Stay put." So He told them what to do. But can I tell you something else? He told them how to do it. Look at it. That with what? Purpose of what? Heart. If these people are going to stay close to the Lord, if they're going to stick to the Lord, they're going to have to do it on purpose. On purpose. And if it's not done on purpose, it ain't going to happen. On purpose. Stick to the Lord. You got to put your heart into your purpose. In other words, it's not just haphazardly. It's not just casually. If you're going to stay put, you're going to have to put all your purpose in staying close to God and do it on purpose. I don't know about you, but you know, I like some of this new stuff they've come out with in more recent times. And I don't know how old it is, but I like Gorilla Glue. You guys use Gorilla Glue. I like Gorilla Glue. It seems to really stick. And I'm not talking about Gorilla because Brother Johnson talked about Gorilla. It's in my mind about Gorilla Glue. It's an adhesive that causes things to stick. But you know, if you've ever used Gorilla Glue, you don't just put, you know, a little glue on this piece and a little glue on this piece and then stick them together and walk away. If you want it to adhere to each other, what do you have to do? Clamp it. There are things in our kitchen that were dropped and broken, put pieced back together, stuck it Gorilla Glue on there, clamped it together, left it for 12, 15, 24 hours. You never know it. Solid as a rock. Clamp it. You got to clamp those things together. Let it sit. Look, if you came out of this meeting with a sense of renewal, if you came out of this meeting with a sense of restoration or a breath of fresh air spiritually, it did not happen by accident. It happened because you took a step, two steps, several steps in your life to draw nigh to God, and you found Him to be true to His promise again. He did draw nigh to you. Clamp it. What steps did you take? For some of you, it was increased or consistent Bible reading. You cannot overemphasize the importance of consistency when it comes to your Bible. If I was given the choice in one of our church members' lives of having any kind of influence, and it was either quantity or consistency, I would choose consistency every time. Every time. I would choose it. Well, what if I could read 28 chapters in one day? My concern, that'd be great. What about the next day? What if I could read through the entire book of Deuteronomy in a week? That's great. But what about next week? I would choose consistency over and over and over and over and over. You understand consistency. You practice consistency. Just think of your relationship with your phone. Everybody in here is consistent. Every day, several times a day, every day, every day, several times a day, several times a day. You get that little report, that little notification one day a week. You spent this many hours of screen time last week. What? I see that, and then I go back to how much time I spent reading the Bible, and it's like, dear Lord. You got to be kidding me. Consistency. Some of you got into that devotional booklet. You just started reading the Bible a little bit consistently every day, every day, every day. Consistently. That much every day. You know what that's called, folks? That's called taking a step toward God. And you know what He does? He takes a step toward you. And then you're ready the next day. Day 9. Day 8. Day 7. 10, 9. Stay put. Stay put. Get you some kind of consistent Bible reading thing and stay put. For some, it was targeted praying. What do I mean by that? Instead of saying, oh God, please bless me today. It was, God, do something in my heart. Do a work in me. Forgive me of this. Cleanse me from this. Prepare my heart. Oh, God, please do something to prepare me for you to speak to my heart. It was that kind of praying that helped you begin to draw nigh to God. Stay put. Stay put. Stay right there. For some, it was letting go of some things in this world that overwhelm and occupy our time. For some of you, there was less time on social media, less TV time, less worldly music, less texting, letting go of things temporary and taking hold of things what? Eternal. Guess what, church? Stay put. Stay put. Why change? If that benefited you, if that resulted in you being drawn closer to God, why would you change that? For some, it was sacrifice. More time and money were invested in being where God's people were gathered. You know what I think? I think in some cases, it wasn't even the preaching. It was the environment and atmosphere of a church service charged by the Spirit of God that encouraged your heart. Stay put. Stay put. That's kind of a simple message. I'm sorry, same one that Barnabas gave. Hey, man, all you Antioch believers, here you go. Stay put. Just cleave to God. Just do what you've been doing. To stay put, to stick, to remain in place, there will have to be purpose of heart. In other words, it's not going to happen by accident. Because unfortunately, the default direction for you and me, the default direction in our life is not toward God. The default direction in our life is away from God. I asked some people here this morning away from God. You haven't prayed your Bible. You haven't read your Bible. You haven't been consistent in coming to the assembly. And you wonder why you're away from God. Because the default direction is like the law of gravity. Oh, this thing is messing up this morning. I'm sorry. The reason this knife doesn't float is because there's a law called the law of gravity. And the reason you and I don't float toward God is because the law of sin and death is in our body and it pulls us away from God. I'll use this thing, Tom. Pulls us down. But I want to tell you something. The default direction can be overcome by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, if you're saved. We can stick close. We can remain in place. We can be close to God. It takes doing it on purpose. What do you think you've been doing the last 10, 15 days? Well, I just feel like there's something better between me and God, right? Hello? Hello? A time and place to consistently read and pray. A commitment to be in church services consistently. A commitment to invest less in the world and more in Christ. You know, it would be a good thing to do this morning, church. Brother Johnson came, put a little glue on this part of our life. And the Spirit of God used Brother Johnson to put a little glue on this part of our life. And take us back to God. Before you walk away, you know, it would be a good thing to do this morning. Put a clamp on it. Put a clamp on it. Stay put. Stay put. Why wouldn't we want to? That's what He wants. It's what we should want. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll take the message this morning, just wrap up the meeting with it, and we'll be off and running another direction tonight. But I thank you for all that you've done. In my heart, I was so encouraged, God, by your word and by the services and the people, and just thankful. And now, Lord, I pray that you'll help me to put a clamp on this thing and help me to stay put. Just like Barnabas told these people back in the first century, I am encouraging our church 21 centuries later to do the same thing. Stay put. Stay put. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Wonder who would say, Pastor, that makes sense. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart. It's the Bible. That's what Barnabas told those people. That's what exactly what I need to do. I've been helped. I've been warmed spiritually. I've been blessed. I feel like I'm not perfect, of course, but I'm a little closer to the Lord than I was a month ago. And I just need to put a clamp on this and stay put. And God spoke to my heart this morning. Can I see your hand wherever you're sitting this morning? Amen. I appreciate it. I see teenagers. I see young adults. I see older adults. That's encouraging. Thank you. Put a clamp on it. Put a clamp on it today. If you're here today, you're not saved. You know why you're not saved? You're not saved because you have yet to believe. You've yet to believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died, was buried, and rose again to save you from your sin. And you've yet to believe that to the place where you open your mouth and say, God, I need to be saved. It's not that you can't be. You can be saved. Is there anybody here like that this morning? Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand wherever you may be sitting today? I will pray for you. If you're here today, you're saved. You came to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Now is the time to come and prepare for that. And you can do that and talk to one of these men if you didn't even come prepared for that. But you know that's what you need. You let the Lord speak to your heart. Any other thing you need to deal about with God, the altar is open. Let's put a clamp on it today and stay put. Father, bless this invitation. Thank you again. Lord, we don't deserve the honor of having you work on us like you did. And so we thank you for it. Pray that you'll continue to do that. Help us just to put a clamp on it, stay put, close to you. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Invitation begins, you obey the Lord this morning. You respond as God wants you to. If you can't kneel, you can stand, whatever, just move at the altar. Move in your heart. What does God want you to do this morning? He wants you to stay put. Just stay put. Understand that if God did a work in us, He did it through His Word and Spirit. It's not a work of the flesh. But once that work is done, you and I have a responsibility. Stay put. Cleave to Him. Stick to Him. Don't move. Stay put. That place of warmth, that place of fellowship, that place of joy. In other words, what you've been doing, just keep doing. Clamp on it this morning. It's like Gorilla Glue on that broken piece of, that broken dish, that broken piece of wood. Put that Gorilla Glue on there, put the clamp on it. It'll work. It'll stay put. Stay put. Stay put. I think most everybody does believe that Jesus is soon coming. We don't know that for sure, but very well could be. As it looks more and more like that, let's stay put. Let's stay put. Don't move away. Don't slide back. Let the Spirit of God put us real close and keep us there.